Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here, too. Really glad, and also glad we have a new series.
Yes, we're finally starting a new series. Like, the question series was great and all,
yeah,
but I got tired of it.
Yeah, I think we were just ready to do something else as well, but we love the question series.
It was actually long.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because we took that little sidetrack on that one question about work, it actually ended up being quite a long series. It might be one of the longest ones we've done. Because we started... Didn't we start the question series right after our 200th episode? Like...
It was pretty close. Oh, my goodness.
Right. And so today's episode's what number?
217.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure we did that series for a long time. Right? Like 13, 14 weeks. I could be wrong, but I think it was. And so it just felt like to me by the time we got through, I was like, thank God we're done with the series. Because, I mean, I liked it and all, and I love asking people's questions. It's just sometimes you just kind of get tired of it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So, no, we ended the thankful meditations after the two episodes after the
200th.
The 200th, yeah. And so any questions was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12.
What?
Maybe 13. That's cool. I probably counted wrong. But anyway, it was a long one.
Yeah.
So we're kicking off a new series today that we just sort of figured out. And this series is coming from, it's sort of coming from the question series a little bit, or at least it got inspired from it. From that little side detour that we took from Charlene's question about being, you know, sharing the gospel in your workplace, right? Being salt and light in your workplace. So, Steph, what's our new series?
Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel.
Yes, Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel. Chances are you aren't sharing the gospel like you want to, or maybe even like you should. And we're going to be pretty direct in this series and talk about the reasons why you don't. And I think we'll probably cover just about everybody's reasons when we go through this. So each week will be a different one. Today we'll do one as we kick off the new series. This is, I think it'll be 8 to 9 episodes, something like that, of reasons that you don't share the gospel. So as you listen to this, don't be offended. Don't be mad. Just hear us saying, hey, look, this is probably the reason you don't share it. And then we're going to help you sort of figure out how to do that differently, and why you shouldn't buy into that reason or excuse. Mm-hmm. And the very last episode of the series, I'm going to share with you a very personal reason why I think most of us don't share the gospel. That's a little deeper than the ones we're going to give at the very, very end. Last one. So, Steph, don't let me forget the last one.
Y'all look forward to that.
And that is one that I have seen in myself, and it's a very deep reason why we don't share the gospel versus I'm not saying none of these are not deep. I'm just saying that these are sort of easier to understand. The other one's a pretty deep reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And I have walked in that, like in the seasons where I feel like I'm struggling with sharing the gospel. There's something deeper in my soul wrong. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the last episode. So we've been working on, and we said this in the last few episodes too, during the question series, we've been working on as a church, some resources and ways we can equip people to be able to see themselves as missionaries in their workplace. And that's why that whole question that Charlene gave was a great one that we spent off on for a while in five different episodes, I think, to answer that one question. So I thought it would be cool to do a series that sort of talks about why we don't share the gospel. And because I'm thinking about this all the time right now. So it's over the last probably 4 or 5 months, I've spent a lot of my time in the back end of stuff working on how to help people share the gospel, and specifically in their workplaces. But this applies, of course, to anywhere, right? How do you share the gospel? And so that comes up with me looking at a lot of research that shows us from polls why people don't share the gospel. People actually give you reasons for this. And there's lots of different research polls on this that have been there forever. And most of these reasons are the same. Now, I ran across a study that I'd never seen before done by the Jesus Film Project. The Jesus Film Project's been around a long time. That's not The Chosen. That's not those people. It's a different group. They made a film about Jesus in, I want to say, around 99 or 2000. So it's an older dated film. But their goal is to make the Jesus film available in every language in the world. And so they're constantly, and then not just that film, but they're also making other gospel content in media and then making it available in all these languages and these different dialects of these languages. It's pretty cool. And so I ran across a study that they did that I'd never seen before. And it was a study that they were asking this question of about 1,600 different people who had engaged in the Jesus Film Project. And they asked this question: what prevents you from talking about spiritual matters with other people? So, of course, what they mean by that is, and as they gave a more detailed answer to that question, it was, what is it that's keeping you from sharing your faith, is a way we can say this, or sharing the gospel? What's keeping you from talking to people about Jesus, right? And who he is to you, what he's done for you, and then, of course, then therefore what he's done for them, right? And so they asked these questions, and they didn't just do a multiple choice. They let people write in their answers, which is much harder if you're orchestrating a poll. It's much harder to get your results sort of concluded, right, when you got to go with what everybody has written in. It's a lot easier when you can go, okay, we gave everybody 20 choices, and here's how many picked this one, here's how many picked this one. But they got to take what people write and figure out how to determine what the person's saying and then how to collect that data and put it together in some sort of way that makes sense. They did a really good job of this. And so it was a cool survey because it confirmed the reasons you see in all these other polls of why people don't share the gospel. You see it also written in people's words in this one. So I ran across it. And I've been looking at data like this a lot lately. Like, what's keeping people from sharing the gospel, right? Because I, as a pastor, I want to help to equip people to share the gospel. And it's really been on my heart since COVID, really, because just inviting somebody to church is not the way it needs to be, right? And it's not going to work. It's already not working as much. It's not going to work as much in the future. You know, inviting somebody is always a good thing, but that's not the be-all, end-all, right? We're trying to get people to Jesus, not to church, right? If you get people to Jesus, then they become part of the church, and that's a much easier transition. So I'm not saying you don't invite people to church. I'm not saying people don't invite people to church and they hear the gospel. Of course they do, right? I preach it every single week, and so do thousands of other pastors around the country. But you want to be able to equip the saints for ministry, right? You want to be able to equip people to be able to walk into their workplaces and to their homes and to their gyms and the clubs that they belong to and all those things when they're playing pickleball. I don't even know what pickleball is. When they're playing pickleball, that they can share and live out the gospel and feel equipped to do it. So I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been reading a lot about it for a long time now. And so we thought we'd spend some time doing a quick little, you know, multiple episode series on reasons why you don't share the gospel. What keeps you from sharing the gospel? And so here's what we see from the research. Here's the first one. This is the one for today. People say, the majority of people say, that fear keeps them from sharing their faith. Being afraid and being fearful keeps people from sharing the gospel in their lives. And, you know, fear is a common human experience, right? Like, we were just talking about this a minute ago, right, before we started, about you and I personally. You know what I mean? You were referencing how, you know, there's some fears that just, you know, bother you sometimes. And sometimes they seem to be more prominent than others, you know, right? You know what I mean? And so fear is a common human thing, and that's the number one. So this particular study from Jesus Film Project, that's the number one thing people put down, is that their fear kept them from actually sharing the gospel. And so maybe if you're listening today, that's the reason that you don't share the gospel. I do believe it is the number one reason for the most part, right? Now, that's being nice, because the number one reason might be laziness or complacency. True. But if we're being kind, that there is a heart to share the gospel, and what keeps us from sharing the gospel, you know, it's not our heart, it's something. And so most people are saying it's fear. It's the most common answer. And so people are, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of losing relationships because there's going to be some rejection involved with this, right? I mean, you think about it. You may have had a conversation with somebody before where it's like, you know, all of a sudden you share that you believe this or you think this, and now all of a sudden they don't think the same thing, and now there's this big gap. I mean, that's been America for the last 12 years at least.
Absolutely.
Right? Just politically.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden you're with somebody who you love and care for. I mean, I've seen families broken up over whether they're blue or red, whether they were Trump or whomever at the time. I mean, I've seen whole families blown up because of it. There's some people in our family who decided they were not going to see their family for Thanksgiving or Christmas or anything because that family member voted for one of the candidates versus the other ones. You know,
that's sad.
So the fear of losing those relationships that you hold closely or being rejected is pretty real, and that's keeping some of you from sharing your faith. And then some of that fear may look like just being scared of the tension that it may cause. Like, it's not like you're going to lose the relationship with this person, but now all of a sudden there's going to be all this weird tension that happens because it's an uncomfortable subject. Other people felt the reason they were fearful is because they felt ill-equipped. Maybe that's you. Like, they said they'd like to share more, but they're scared that they'll end up fielding questions or dealing with different, you know, difficult sort of objections that are too uncomfortable to navigate. So what they were fearful of is they were like, what if I run into something? What if a question's asked or somebody has an objection or somebody has some point that they make and I don't know what to do with it, right? And
people don't want to look dumb.
So that's a good way to put it. Fear of looking dumb or looking like they don't understand or they don't know.
They're not legit, you know? Yeah.
Lots of people, when it comes to sharing the gospel, what you are afraid of is you are afraid of saying – you're afraid of looking dumb, but the root is you're afraid of saying, I don't know.
Yeah,
because
true.
Because somehow or another, I don't know now disqualifies you in your mind from sharing the gospel, and I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. Right?
I think that it immediately puts you on the level of the other people who you're talking to who are trying to figure it out too. And I think that, you know, I don't know is a completely adequate thing, but what this survey is finding and what you see happening all across the board is people are not sharing their faith because they're scared that they're not going to be able to answer the question, right? There's all kinds of fears that go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid that they're going to come across pushy. So now they're going to be the person who nobody wants to talk to because they're pushing their beliefs on somebody else. And so they're scared that them sharing is going to be seen as being is pushing instead, right? And I get it because it can be Christians get pushy sometimes, right? So maybe that's what it is. And then some people are scared that it might start an argument, right? It might be a tense conversation that begins an argument or a fight, and they're scared of having to deal with that conflict, and so they don't do it. You know, there's lots of fears that are going to keep you from sharing the gospel. That might be you listening. The majority of people say that it is fear that keeps them from sharing the gospel. Fear. So how do you deal with these fears, right? If that's the number one reason, and it appears pretty much across the board, too. I read numerous surveys and polls that end up showing that this is pretty much the number one answer, right? Why don't people share the gospel? Well, they are scared.
Mm-hmm.
And they're scared for lots of reasons. So how do you deal with those fears? Like, many of these fears will sort of evaporate when we realize a person's salvation isn't dependent upon us or our performance, right?
That's good.
Like, this is a preaching hack, by the way. This is a preaching tip. I don't know how you apply this in other places of life, but I can tell you where I apply it in preaching. Is I have to remind myself all the time that it is never my teaching or preaching that is going to actually cause someone to be saved, right? It is not about my performance. That is not dependent upon me, right? I can't go hit a home run every single time, and every single message is not going to resonate with everybody. And whether or not somebody is saved or not does not depend on me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that we don't have a role to play in it, but it doesn't depend on me. And so when you have all these fears of it not going right, you know, this bad thing's going to happen, this bad thing's going to happen. You got to realize that those fears might actually go away if you start to internalize the fact that somebody's salvation is not based on you or your performance. Like, if you're worried about, well, I want to know how to answer this question, and, you know, and then I may engage with somebody who knows better about this than me, some atheist that blows me out of the water, and I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to look stupid. It's not based on your performance, right? Them coming to Christ and that gospel being shared or spread is not based on your performance. God is at work in everybody's life, drawing all of us to him. Our small conversations are just a part of that process,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not the whole thing. They're just a part of it. You know, maybe you initiate the sort of final last conversation with somebody that God uses to help them surrender their heart to the Lord. Maybe that's the case. But you do, I hope you realize that that does not happen that often, right? Where the final piece is you coming in, feeling called by the Holy Spirit to share your gospel, share the story, right? Relate to a person, and that's the moment where they actually go, oh my God, I'm, you know, they don't say this, but they're awakened to the call of Jesus on their heart, and they get saved right then in that moment. Maybe that happens with you, but it doesn't happen that often,
mm-hmm.
right? Most of the time what's going on is your conversation is just one of the many conversations over the course of a person's life that the Holy Spirit uses to soften their heart, right? Like, it's not just based on you. If you don't share the gospel in this moment, or you share it incorrectly, or these things that you fear actually come true, it's not going to make or break their salvation moment, right? That's not on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't. We're supposed to walk around with a responsibility to live and share our faith and do what Jesus has commanded us to do. But at the same time, we don't walk around thinking it's on us. Like, we know that it's not on us, that the Holy Spirit is at work here, that people can't come to Christ without the Holy Spirit opening their hearts and their eyes, right?
Right.
And but we do walk around with a responsibility to know, I'm not going to let my fears keep me from opening my mouth.
Right.
And sharing my faith and leading somebody the gospel, or just telling them the gospel, because it's not on me. At the end of the day, if they don't accept, they don't step, it's not on me. It's not about my performance, right? That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jesus is calling people home to himself. And you know, I do bear the responsibility of needing to open my mouth and live out of faith, right? If I truly love Jesus, then I'm going to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's not on me. It's not on you to be the one who actually converts the person. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I feel like in your own walk, if you really think about it, you can name people that had an impact on you, but at the end of the day, you're going to say like, yeah, it was the Lord that drew me in.
Absolutely.
I can say that for sure. Like, that was the Lord that pulled me in.
I've been a part of a lot of people, you know, because of church and because sort of how this is designed at this phase of life, at this phase of the church life. You know, there's altar calls and moments where you offer salvation and stuff like that. I've been involved in a lot of people coming to Christ, but I'm telling you right now, it's not me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know what's crazy? I feel like I've had some of the worst sermons ever, and that I just felt disconnected. There's no way this is going to work. And people come to Christ more after those than they do after the ones that I feel like it's a home run, right?
Because mm-hmm.
it's not about my performance.
Right.
Something, and it's also not, it's not just me.
That right.
God's using lots of conversations
right.
and lots of stuff to draw people home. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You're just a part of the teamwork that God ends mm-hmm. up using to make this happen. Like, it reminds me of somebody in our church. I think she listens to the podcast. Her name's Courtney Hernandez. She's in our small group.
Oh, yeah, Courtney.
I love Courtney and her husband, Abe, and all her kids. We were just hanging out with them mm-hmm. the other night. Courtney Hernandez came to Christ on a Christmas service here at Union. And here's what's crazy about that. This was years ago, and you were singing that Christmas Eve, I'm pretty sure. You, Steph, you were singing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, her husband comes up to me and says, I don't think Courtney's saved. There had been sort of an awakening moment that had happened in their family where, you know, she had always sort of said, I'm a Christian. Because, you know, you're in the South, you say you're a Christian.
Yeah.
And they got to talking, and then they both kind of realized, and especially Abe, he was like, I don't think she's ever given her life to the Lord. I don't think she's really surrendered. And so he just prayed. He just came up to me and said, Adam, will you pray for her to surrender this Christmas to the Lord? And so, of course, I say, sure. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. of course. And that was before any of the services started. We had a bunch of them this particular year. And every single service goes by, you know, and people are coming to Christ or whatever, you know, and everything's great. And I ain't seen Courtney. We get to the very last service of the night, and she shows up. Right before that service happens, it begins to storm and rain outside like cats and dogs. I mean, it is going crazy. There's water everywhere. Lightning strikes the building and blows up a projector and the lights, right? You remember this, Steph?
Yeah, I remember that.
Blows up a projector, the lights, all this stuff. And lo and behold, that's the service that Courtney is in that night. And her husband's been praying for her probably all weekend, but at least all through all other services. You know, and all the regular lights have been blown out, right? We got these old decrepit YMCA gym lights that we turn on instead, and they're coming on, and then they're going back off, and they're coming back on, and it's so distracting.
Mm-hmm.
The screen's gone, right? There's something wrong with the thing. The lightning struck the building. It's a like crazy storm outside, and that's the at the end of that service is when Courtney Hernandez comes to Jesus. If you talk to her, she'd tell you this story. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And I felt like it was a daggone train wreck, right? Like I was like, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is no good. And yet God didn't, my part was just a part. You know, it's just a piece. And if I fumbled it, I fumbled it. Because in the end, it's not my burden to bear. It is my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one who changes hearts and lives, not us. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. He's the one.
And so if you really think about all these fears of happening, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? If you'll realize that it's not on you, right? It's not based on, if it don't go well, it don't go well, right? If you feel like you leave and you're like, well, that turned into a mess.
Yeah.
You got to understand that still God is using those things. And more than likely, when you sit down and you talk to somebody about the gospel, you share the gospel, more than likely it's not going to lead to that being the final conversation that puts the nail in the coffin that brings them to Christ at that moment. More than likely, it's just one of the conversations that are along the way that will happen and draw that person to Christ. You know what I mean? And fear is one of those things that I think God knows about us in detail that he knows for us that it is real. Those fears are real. And they're also at the same time excuses, right? He knows that about us, that they are real. It's honest as a human to have some of these fears, right? That you're fearful that somebody's going to reject you or you're going to come across pushy or as a jerk or, you know, whatever. Somebody's going to type you into that way. I mean, those fears are real. At the same time, though, fears turn into excuses very quickly for us as humans. Like a fear can be real, and then it turns into an excuse. And when it comes to actually sharing the faith, maybe this is the people listening, maybe this is your reason that you're scared. You got to grab a hold to the fact that it is not your performance that does this.
I'm right? So glad it ain't.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It is not. Me too. I become more and more. I was cockier and more arrogant when I was a younger pastor. And I wanted it to be on me. I wanted to, you know what I mean? Like I wanted to come in and do this thing and take right. And the older I get, the more I cling to Jesus, the closer I go, the more I realize, thank God it is not about me.
Yeah.
Right. Thank God it is not on me. Because I am not that good. I am we just said this on Sunday. We said this yesterday. A wretch like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wretched. And so when it comes to actually leading somebody that got ratchet.
Just kidding. That takes you back. Go ahead, keep going.
When it comes to leading somebody to the gospel, you know, I can't change somebody's heart. I don't have that kind of power. I can't even change mine. You know what I mean? Like it's much less somebody else's, you know. And the more you realize that this is in God's hands, all we have to do is go, yes, I am fearful, but the Lord tells me, 365 times in the Bible, right? Literally every day, some sort of iteration of do not fear.
You're right.
Every
You're
single right. day. And so I have to just be obedient and open my mouth. But this is, I think, the main number one reason that people don't share their faith. And the only really way I know to look at it is to say, this is just one of those conversations. It's just one of those things. Let me show you a scripture. We're going to end all of these with a scripture, by the way. This is 1 Corinthians 3. 6-7, you can see what Paul says, and if you look at it through the lens we just talked, it'll make sense.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Mm-hmm. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow.
So good, right? He's exactly what we just said. I planted the seed. Then he brings up Apollos, who's another person. mm-hmm. who comes along and he's watering it. So he's helping it too. But God's the one that makes it grow. And the one who's important here, the one that's doing the real work, is God. God's doing the heavy lifting, right? You have to look at your life as somebody who's been bought. I'm blood bought by the gospel. It is my job to share the gospel. All you are doing is slinging seed. Slinging seed. That's all you're doing. And when those seeds sprout and somebody comes to Christ, then what you're doing also is you're watering those, right? So when you're around somebody who doesn't know Christ, you're slinging seed. That's all you're doing. You won't make it grow. You don't figure it out, right? You can't cause that to happen. And then when you're around somebody who doesn't know Christ, I mean, who does know Christ, who's a fellow Christian, mm-hmm. you're just watering them and they're watering you, right? We're helping each other grow. But God's the one that brings the growth, right? He's the one that does this.
Yeah.
And especially when you think of that verse in terms of evangelism and people coming to Christ, he is the one who's making that seed germinate and grow in the good soil, right? Not us.
That's
We're
so
just
nice.
Throwing it out there, right? Mm-hmm. We're just putting it out there. And that, I don't know. I just think that that takes away some of the fear. Like, in the end, if God's the one that's doing this and it's not based on your performance, then what is there really to be fearful about, right? Like, if it's not based on you and some relationship you have gets weird and they reject you because of it, but it's not based on you, it's okay, right? I know that you don't want to lose those relationships, but, you know, it's all right. If that person does not accept Christ at that moment, it's okay because it's not on you and your performance.
That's right.
And it also does not mean that they won't at some point in time. You know, some of the most contentious arguments that I have had with people about faith years later have come to faith in Jesus, right? Some of the most contentious ones. As a matter of fact, I can only probably name you, being a pastor, maybe two people who it was just flat out nasty about Jesus. They didn't believe, they were, you know, at all, thought we were crazy, mocked, stuff like that. And there's been a lot of those over the years. There's only two that I can think of who didn't eventually come to Christ. Two. And they might have now. I don't know. I've lost track of them, right? But there was only two. And there are people who come to Christ over the years and years I've been in ministry that I swore up and down 10, 15 years before that person will never come to Christ. There ain't no possible way. There ain't no way. And then later on, through all these series of conversations and people throwing seed, right, that at some point they submit their life over and surrender their life over to this desperate need for Jesus that we have. And now the person that I thought was unsavable is saved, right? Maybe I thought they were unsavable because I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? I couldn't get through to them. But I'm not the one that gets through. You know, we're just sharing. That's all we're doing. We're just telling people. We're telling people and showing people who Jesus is for us and who he can be for them too. That's all we're doing, you know? But I love that verse because it just says exactly the same thing we're talking about.
No, so, I love that verse.
Yeah,
I really do.
So that's our first reason. Maybe that's your reason. Think about this. Listen to what we said. Read this verse and think about it. This number one reason that you don't share the gospel is fear is keeping you from doing that. So remember that it ain't about you or your performance. That's one of the best things we can remember.
Now breathe.
Yeah, breathe. Yeah, it's okay.
That's wonderful.
Just do you. Yeah. Just be the best you can be and do you and share the gospel the best you can and know that God is going to use it in that moment or in some future moment. He's going to use it. And you ain't the only one doing it.
True right? that.
If the Holy Spirit is calling a person towards Jesus, if that prevenient grace we've talked about before is pulling them to Jesus, he's using lots of conversations.
Yes.
Right? Not just yours. Lots of things. Lots of ways to awaken. You know, not just yours. And so if yours don't go so well, oh well. Your Holy Spirit's got you back through your brother or your sister or your friend who may have a little bit, you know, their stuff might get through a little better.
Through something they hear on the radio, anything.
It might
anything.
Get through a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, who knows, right? There's all kinds of things that awaken us to our need for Jesus and to our depravity. Our desperate need for Jesus and our sinfulness and our saving, our rescuing. There's all kinds of things that wake us up to that. circumstances in life, things we see, things we hear, things that are done to us. A well-placed message at the right time, a kind word, a kind hand, a love, you know what I mean? Watching somebody else's life. There's all kinds of stuff. World tragedies. There's just tons and tons of things that wake us up to our desperate need for Jesus. And so, you know, it ain't on you. And I think that helps take away some of that fear.
Yeah. So,
anyway, that's our first one. That's our first reason you don't share the gospel.
Woo, that was good.
Yeah, it was good. We got another one coming up next episode, and then I think we're going to do like 8 or 9 of them. I don't know. Something like that.
We shall see. You never know. Could go on a detour.
Absolutely. We probably will.
And that's okay. I don't think y'all are complaining, so no. Let's go.
If you do, ain't nobody listening.
True that.
That's what my mama used to say. You complain all you want to. Ain't nobody listening to that. So...
Don't bring those vibes.
Do you
over
remember?
Here.
Oh, this is so funny. I don't even know if this still exists anymore, but it might. Do you remember a long time ago where I would make a joke and I would say, you know, if you want to complain, send your yeah. You remember this?
Yeah.
I'd say send your complaints to complaints@unionchurch.co, and it was a real email address, and it had an auto reply on it. And it would auto reply and tell you, thank you for your complaint. We don't care. It might still exist.
I forgot it
Somebody
said that.
Somebody listen to this. Try it. See if it still exists or if we disabled it. Complaints@unionchurch.co. And then see if it gives you a reply back that says, thank you for your complaint, but we do not care. I got in trouble for that a little bit. I had some people mad, but I thought it was funny. I bet it still exists. I bet we did not go back and redo it. So, anyway, we'll see you guys next week.
Yes,
we'll give you another reason why you don't share the gospel.
All righty, we'll talk to you soon.
See
Bye.
You later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.